It's Wednesday and time for our political junkie segment.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Today, in the world of freedom, the proudest boast is, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
But I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, and what's best is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as the Secretary of Defense.
And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House!
This week, a look ahead to the Georgia primaries. In the race for the lieutenant governor's seat is Ralph Reed. Reed used to be a golden boy of the Christian right until his good name was tarnished by links to Jack Abramoff. There's also the race for Georgia's fourth congressional seat with incumbent Cynthia McKinney, who not so gracefully bowed out of two televised debates. And Democrats across the country wonder, can the minimum wage do for their party in 06 what gay marriage did for the GOP in 2004? What political stories are you talking about? What races are you following? Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK, and our email address is talk@npr.org. And here with us in Studio 3A, as always, is Ken Rudin, NPR political editor and author of the Political Junkie column at npr.org. His latest column on the ongoing odyssey of Tom DeLay just went up today. More on that in a minute, but first, the Georgia primaries. First of all, are we looking at close races? What can we expect?
Hi, Lynn. Actually, two things. Primary is very interesting in the fact that, as you said, Ralph Reed was the golden boy of Christian conservative politics. He's basically the architect of the Republican comeback in Georgia. They have a Republican governor for the first time since Reconstruction. They have two Republican senators. They control the legislature. Reed is pretty much responsible for that. But he was also the guy who took money from Jack Abramoff, the convicted Washington lobbyist. And he took money basically to run anti-gambling initiatives in Texas, in Alabama, and elsewhere, while at the same time protecting, in effect, he was protecting the Abramoff gambling interest. So, as a Christian conservative, he appealed to the Christian right and said, "Look, we got to stop this gambling." But at the same time, he was doing so, he was taking the money from Jack Abramoff's Indian clients, and that hint of hypocrisy is the big issue in Tuesday's primary.
And that's being used very much against him
by his
point.
Republican opponent Casey Cagle, who's a state senator and spending a lot of money on his own behalf.
Any sense of where that's going to go? That
polls show it dead even. Interesting. Rudy Giuliani, who probably disagrees with Ralph Reed on almost every issue, certainly abortion and gay rights and things like that. Rudy Giuliani has been campaigning for Ralph Reed. I think that's interesting. Zell Miller, the former Democratic senator from Georgia, is also working on Reed's behalf. But again, the polls show it very, very close.
What about the race for Cynthia McKinney's seat?
Cynthia McKinney, of course, has been a very controversial member of Congress from the beginning. Her last controversy was when she allegedly smacked a Capitol Hill police officer with her cell phone by trying to avoid some security line. And she's also not shown up for debates and the thing. But the people in the 4th Congressional District know Cynthia McKinney. She's a fighter for them. She's independent. She's certainly unique, shall we say. And if there's anything you didn't know about Cynthia McKinney, this is not going to change their mind. And my guess is that she survives and does okay on Tuesday's primary.
All right. I want to bring Bill Shipp into this conversation because he's a longtime observer of Georgia politics. He writes the twice-weekly column called Bill Shipp's Georgia, which many newspapers in the Peach State carry. And he's joining us by phone from his office in Marietta, Georgia. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you.
I guess you've been listening to what Ken has to say about what's going on there in Georgia. Maybe we can hear your analysis of some of these races.
Well, I think Ken is dead on. A poll that came out just today shows there is a one-point difference between Casey Cagle and Ralph Reed, with Casey Cagle having the advantage. Reed, a year ago, appeared unstoppable, and a lot of people, including Reed, thought the scandal involving Jack Abramoff was too far away and too complicated to have any impact on the Georgia race. That has turned out not to be the case. Cagle has emphasized that and has saturated television with charges against Reed, including the implication that he may be the target of criminal accusations.
And what about Democratic Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney? How is she viewed by the public right now? I understand she still has a strong...
You talked about Georgia in general. She does not rate very highly, but in her solidly African-American congressional district in suburban DeKalb County, she is extremely popular. She has two opponents in the Democratic primary, but the smart money says she's going to win easily. She obviously believes that. She has passed up, within the past week, two big television debates so that she could do other things. It is also reported that her campaign staff is dabbling in the Democratic governor's primary so that they must not be too concerned about her chances.
All right, Bill, we're having a little trouble with your line, but let me just ask you one quick question. How would you describe this year in Georgia politics? Is it a particularly colorful year?
Pardon me?
How would you describe this year in Georgia politics?
Well, I would describe it as being very mean because the Democratic primary is, many believe that if the Democratic primary does not attract a big turnout of voters this year, that Georgia may revert again, as it used to be, to a one-party state, except in this case it'll be the Republican Party.
All right, thanks so much for joining us, Bill.
Well, thank you.
Bill Shipp writes a twice-weekly column called Bill Shipp's Georgia, which runs in dozens of Georgia newspapers. He joined us by phone from his home in Marietta, Georgia, and you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Back to our political junkie, Ken Rudin. And if you have any questions for Ken, you can give us a call at 800-989-8255. Let's go to Texas now, Ken. Tom DeLay is on the ballot, even though he stepped down in the race. What effect is that going to have on the election for the 26th district?
Well, actually,
Texas?
The fact that he's still on the ballot is a surprise to many Republicans. They thought when he resigned his House seat and ostensibly said he was moving from Sugar Land, Texas, to Virginia, they would be free of him and they could name his own replacement. But Texas state law says the only way you can get off the ballot is if you die, if you're too ill to campaign, or if you, as I say, move out of the state. But a Houston Chronicle reporter knocked on the DeLay home in Sugar Land the other day, and Tom DeLay answered the door. There's no indication that he really is leaving Texas. And a federal judge sided with the Democrats, says, well, look, you know, he's still a Texan. You can't leave the ballot because you're afraid that you may not win. And that's apparently what Tom DeLay may be doing. And so ostensibly, until it's appealed, DeLay stays on the ballot, which is not great news for the Republican Party.
All right. Let's go to a call. Kirk is calling from Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Kirk.
Yes. Hello, and thanks for taking my call. Yes, this morning on C-SPAN, a number of prominent black House representatives came out to discuss the reauthorization of the Civil Rights Act. And not one Republican came up there to support that. And I want to know what the reason and rationale is for that. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you don't mean the Civil Rights Act. You mean the Voting Rights Act.
And that, Voting Rights Act.
And the clear reason is that the Republican Party in the House is split over it. They feel there are that some of the representatives from conservatives from southern states, they feel that they've been over-regulated and over-watched, over-monitored by the Justice Department. So ostensibly, this would be a slam dunk for the Republican Party to bring it up, say we support voting rights, we renew the act, and, you know, perhaps maybe get a good inroad with African-American voters. But there is a split among Republicans. And the fact is, though, that they will bring the matter to the floor perhaps as early as this week. And so I think ultimately it will be passed. But there is dissension within the Republican Party.
And Ken, what about the Democratic strategy of using the minimum wage as a sort of major issue, hoping that that will kind of work for them the way, say, the gay marriage issue did for Republicans?
Well, we saw 2004 gay marriage was on, I think, 11 states, including the very crucial state of Ohio. Ostensibly, it was to bring out enough Christian conservatives to bring out Republican voters. Democrats hope that by putting this on the ballot, it's already on the ballot in six states, including five very close Senate races, it may bring up enough Hispanic voters, Democratic base voters who feel that given the fact that the minimum wage has not changed since 1997, it's still $5.15 an hour. If a state minimum wage law can be changed, it might bring out Democratic votes.
Presumably, they've done some polling that this is an important issue to a lot of
voters. It is an important issue, but the question is whether it will bring out the core Democratic votes like we saw with Republicans and same-sex marriages.
Okay, let's just end with the Kansas State House race. There's a husband-wife race there. Tell us about that.
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a state legislative seat, and both the woman is a Democrat, her husband is a conservative Republican, and they're both running for the same seat. Now, a lot of people think that's cute, how enchanting husband, not that husbands and wives.
Enchanting, I don't know.
But a lot of people think that it's actually a plot, because the guy is a conservative Republican. If he splits the conservative vote, then he allows a liberal to win in November, and that's what the fight is all about.
Okay. Thanks for joining us again, Ken.
Thanks, Len.
NPR's political editor and author of the Political Junkie column. The latest edition of the Political Junkie column is on our website, npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.